broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. And it seems that my microphone has been off this whole time. My goodness, that's not going to be helpful. We're 10 minutes into the broadcast. I'm not sure when my microphone went mute or if it ever did come back on. So we're just going to pick up where we left off, and I'm going to act like we're starting all over because I can edit this and re-upload it at any point. So I want to say good hearty hello to all you folks out there, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in a nine or two, and those on the road folks. And I want to welcome you to Addendumly Speaking here on Holistic Truth, part of the NetSerim Network. And if you're wondering why it is that I'm smiling, it's because, you know, I feel like a dork. And when I feel like a dork, I kind of smile. So hitting on the mute button and sitting on it for 10 minutes is, you know, that qualifies as dorkdom for a little while. So I'll own that title for just about 30 seconds. And now we'll move on. It is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. And we're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. I am your host, Leander Grace, and we're going to be talking about the holistic truth every time that we're on air, and it's good to be back with you here this evening on Holistic Truth Radio as we continue to hold the space of peace, love, and grace, continuing in solidarity of patriots worldwide. As the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth, it remains an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. Guys, remember, as you listen to the broadcast, to the podcast, this is addendumly speaking. We're going to be adding to everything that happened during the week and maybe put a little bit of sprinkle on top. We'll see how that goes. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast, to the podcast, about people, we love you, too. Question everything. We're not part of the media feeding. I do not expect you to take me at my word. It's not my place to convince you. I'm not trying to sell you an idea. I'm just here to spread the light. So research what you hear so you can own your own experience. My goodness. And so this is the second time we did the introduction, because the first time I had my microphone muted, and I think I'm over that whole feeling silly thing. No, couldn't possibly. But I do want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and so I feel kind of silly that I wasted a lot of time on the mute button. But, you know, things being as they are, we'll see how it worked out. So tonight, on Addendumly Speaking, we're going to be talking about election interference. And some of the many layers of that, what it is and is not, which part of it is election interference and which part is not election interference. We're going to have a border update. Some of the things that are coming across the border will stand your hair right up. The anti-American and Israel demonstrations, they are way past protests, and they are all up in our face demonstrating. And then we're going to talk about some medical maladjustments, and I hope we get through that in the first half hour. I don't know. We spent 10 minutes on dead air. Could be dead air. We'll find out. And then, of course, in the second half hour, we'll spend the rest of the time that we have remaining talking about Ukraine. We've got lots of stuff to talk about that. One of the things at the top is some of the housekeeping. We've got a schedule change coming up effective May 1st. We're going to see about changing the schedule, increasing the hours and changing the schedule. As it is right now on Mondays, we have Empathic Channel. And, we're going to change that back to MAGA Monday. Yay, woo-woo, we're getting political again. They have President Trump sitting in a very cold courtroom. Just sit there and be quiet. He doesn't get to say anything. All of his First Amendment rights are being thrown out the window. It doesn't seem anybody is big enough, bad enough, or bold enough to stand up to that person in a robe that is issuing unconstitutional orders from the bench and make him stop issuing unconstitutional orders for the bench. But understand, every time he tries to enforce that unconstitutional bench order, he's just adding another charge to his own little self. He's not above the law either. He's not above the Constitution that he swore to protect, to defend and protect, and yet here he is, not defending nor protecting the First Amendment rights of the defendant. He's supposed to be there as a scorekeeper. He's not supposed to be there as a muzzle maker. Not that I know. I didn't see anything out in that, but that could just be my misunderstanding of it. So we'll still have some interlocutionary on Tuesdays, and Holistic Truth will remain on Wednesdays. We're going to put some new stuff on that as well. And then Thursdays, the Denimly Speaking will remain that. And we may just all turn into Holistic Truth and then have separate little sections within that and just, you know, keep that. So I'm still in prayer with the Father about that. Well, you know, I'm waiting for an absolute no if that's not where the direction, you know, that the Father wants me to go in. If not, then that's what we're going to do. And so I'm in the background kind of taking a look at what it's supposed to look like. So when we go on air, we can go on full bore. And once we start, what is it the vet said? Well, let's talk a little bit about that. I don't know if you guys have heard or kept up with. I talked about it a little bit ago, but my mic was muted, so it didn't do anybody good but me. But I don't know if you guys have heard about the 777s, the 777 jumpers. And I don't know what to call them other than the 777s, and so you guys can do your research on that and find out about it. But this is a group of veterans that have done 7 jumps in 7 days in 7 continents. So let me get a drink. And they are doing this in honor of the fallen. So these are veterans that have gotten together to do what they say can't be done. And as warriors go, as he said, you know, you tell me I can't do something, it's going to be all hold my beer, right? Hold my beer and watch me get it done. And so they said that this particular feat of 7 jumps on 7 continents in 7 days couldn't be done. And these warriors are like, hold my beer. And they got it done, and they set some records, and they raised some money. And all of the money that they did raise, they're sending to Folds of Honor. They're donating to Folds of Honor, and the reason that they chose that particular foundation, they said, was because 95 cents of every dollar that goes into their coffers goes right into where it's supposed to be. So I wanted to give a shout out to the 777s there, and they're jumping around in their extreme sports, something that I couldn't do. But basically, this is what it is. Unless the Father tells me absolutely no, do not increase my hours and my time on this platform, then it's going to be hold my beer. Because I only drink coffee on air. So hold my beer while I drink my coffee on air, and that'll be what it is. Now tonight, what we're going to be talking about, aside from the things that I just mentioned, election interference, the border update, anti-American stuff, medical maladjustments, and about Ukraine, we're going to talk a little bit about how scared NATO is and a far-looking of why NATO is doing what NATO was doing when NATO said it wouldn't do it, and what is NATO anyway, and who's running it, and why are they running it this way. We're going to talk a little bit about that. because NATO seems like it's scared, and it should be. So let's first of all talk about election interference. And in order to do that, ran a little short on time. I'm not going to be able to say everything that I want to say, but I do want to bring to the studio President Donald J. Trump. And this is just what he had put out outside of the New York courtroom regarding the election interference and the spectacle. And the very fact that this whole case is a sham case designed only to interfere with his being able to go out and candidatize, right, campaign for the election and speak to we the people. So he's been campaigning in Harlem. And speaking to we the people, and he's in this particular audio, and I took it from video from, this is from his Truth Social page, you know, he's going through the other testimonies and letters and the write-ups, basically evidence and testimony about how worthless the case that is being tried is. And so we'll talk a little bit about that too, but first of all, let's listen to the president.
I said, we don't have a jury. So, thank you very much. I wanted to just say that I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. These are all stories. This is over the last few days from legal experts. This is Wall Street Journal editorial. But all of these are stories from legal experts saying how this is not a case. The case is ridiculous. This is another one. The case is a ridiculous Trump indictment. It's missing fraud. There is no fraud. All of these stories are stories of how, and these are done by the experts and editorials, Bragg falsified business records, and he falsified them. He's the one. He's the fraud. But take a look at all of these are stories. You see them here. Bragg's indictment even falls as an indictment. All of them. Bragg crosses the Rubicon, indicting Trump on that sense. The whopping outrage in Trump's indictment. It's a whopping outrage, and it is an outrage. Everybody's outraged by it. You know, we had 18 DA or DA type store clubs. 18 or 19 or 21, they counted all their in and out like. And in the meantime, you have murders going on right outside in New York. Look at this, National Review, another National Review. Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, Andrew McCarthy, every one of them saying they call it a zombie case, meaning it is no case. And they say, is it constitutional? They don't think the case is. These are all stories that have taken place over the last few days. Take a look at this. D.A. Bragg wants us to believe that his pursuit of Trump isn't political. Of course it's political. And they're doing it for Biden. They're doing this for Joe Biden. Even the Rolling Stone, no friend of mine, they don't like Bragg's chances on this case as to disgrace. That's a nice headline. I'd like to read that one too. But every one of them lies about the case. Justice is on trial. You know, the whole world is watching this New York scam. The trial spectacle begins. That's Wall Street Journal. It's a spectacle. Every one of these. America is a third world country. Daily Caller. Wow. That's New York Magazine, even. All of them, they just came out. These are all, every single one. I haven't seen one that says it's a good trial. It's political. It's a, this is the Wall Street Journal editorial. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room, freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this, and this is your result. Look at that, each one of them is a story. And it's very unfair, very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess, and you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about. And it really is a shame. This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice, we have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
And he says, thank you very much. See you tomorrow. All of that. All of the same, the litigants, they are lawyers themselves, the ones that he laid off, and they had tried to tell we the people that this is a sham case. And what I'm wondering is, how do you stop a rogue judge working hostile-wise against the Constitution that he swore to protect and defend? You can't get around that. A gag order is against the First Amendment of the Constitution, and you can't sit there on the bench and give an unconstitutional order and say that you've upheld your oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. You can't do it. Then every time you say you're going to enforce that, then it's just one more ding against you, sir, with all due respect, because the law will see it. And the law will prosecute when the law has been crossed at that level. You can't gag somebody and tell them they can't talk. You can't do it. And yet here you are exercising under the color of law as if you have that authority, begging for a Bivens action. And it's not a light little thing, sir, with all due respect, Judge Mershon. You know you're in hot water. I'm not sure who's pushing you forward and having you do all of this stuff and what kind of joyride you're getting out of all this showmanship, but it's a clown show. It definitely is. And we'll just have to see how that turns out. Something else that ended up being a clown show, and I really laughed about it earlier because it struck me as so funny, is the cannibals and shaving cream coming out from Biden. You know, he told a war story about his uncle. I'm a vet. A lot of my friends are vets. And I just told you the story about the 777s who were breaking records and blowing past extremes in honor of the fallen. But Biden told a story about his uncle who supposedly got shot down over the New Zealand and got eaten by cannibals. Now, that's an absolutely absurd story to be telling. Completely unbelievable. Buffoonery comes to mind. And he tells it with all seriousness. And when we take a look at it, we just laugh at how much more ridiculous can it get. But I want to point out some damage that type of thing does. And as I was listening to some of the news people tell this story, of him telling the story and listening to it, I'm like, how damaging this is. Not just because it's an obvious lie or fabrication or confabulation or completely made up in fantasy land and la-la stuff. Minimizes empathy for those who served, and it makes a byword out of war stories. Because, you know, when a soldier has served and has done stuff, it's difficult. They don't want to talk about it, except with those who understand. And for him to tell this kind of a thing, it makes war stories into fish stories. And although, you know, we say on the surface, oh, nobody's going to believe it. No, but it has an effect of making war stories into fish stories and into bywords and dishonoring the fallen, dishonoring those who gave everything and didn't make it back. And I don't want to brush this off as just some buffoonery old man. If it's some buffoonery old man, get him the hell out of the White House. If it's not a buffoonery old man, then we need to hold him responsible for telling lies. We can't have both ways. Something's got to get challenged and confronted on this. I was offended by it. I laughed because of the presentation of it. But when I started thinking about it, I'm like, this is dangerous. The effect is dangerous. The effect is minimizing to those who did have very traumatic occurrences while they served. So it just made me kind of ill a little bit, made me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit when I heard it. After I was giggling at the presentation, it made it a little easier to receive. But when I stopped to think about it, I was like, this is really bad, and it kind of made me sick. So we can keep letting this stuff go on and all these buffoonery stories, or we can start calling them on it. Or we can qualify me as an old buffoon man, not qualified to sit behind the White House. We can't have it both ways. The border update, it's wide open. All kinds of stuff is coming through. But more than what's coming through at the border, I wanted to talk about some of these street drugs that are coming out that I just now got heard of. I live in a bubble at some point. There's some things that I don't know about. And I was watching this newsreel, and they were showing this woman. Usually there's a warning, then there wasn't, and it's not a fault. It's just a fact. And I want to tell you, this woman had taken a drug called Trank. And it her traumatized reaction, she was under the influence of it, was so traumatizing for me to watch. Just 0.3 seconds. I'm an empath. I'm a telepath. I'm an empath. I want to tell you that these people are in hell. And all I could do, I started tearing up. I almost started crying, but I was tearing up. These people are hurting. These people are in hell. They suffer from addiction, and the pushers are taking advantage of them and doctoring stuff up. And evidently the history of Trank started during the lockdown, because everyone was locked down. The pushers didn't know when they were going to get their next load, so they wanted to keep it going. And then they found out using Xylene. You can look that up. Or Xylazine. That's it. Xylazine. Pardon me. And now they're putting Xylazine in with the fentanyl, and it makes it very difficult for the nasal Narcan to reverse an overdose. And it has to do with, and I haven't done a lot of deep research on this. I'm going to go ahead and do that and get back with you at least on Holistic Truth about this particular drug, about Trank and how it works and why it works the way it does. What I'm thinking is, intuitively, what I see, knowing the way that things work, is that the place that that the Narcan would usually go is already being replaced. Its chair is already being sat in with something that looks like it by the name of Xylazine. So it's taking place of Narcan. Narcan can't get in there to do its job, and the fentanyl continues in its overdose progress. That's what I see happening intuitively. I'll have to look it up and get the goods on it to see if that's what in fact is going on. We may or may not take a break. We'll just go ahead and keep going, because I want to talk about this drug in Ozempic that's come up. Now, this drug, Ozempic, evidently is gotten a lot of press lately, and a lot of abuse. And from what I understand, Ozempic was originally designed to relieve the A1C levels of those with type 2 diabetes, which is not the same as type 1 diabetes, and it's not recommended for type 1 diabetes. And so we immediately know that this is a metabolic issue. And what the Ozempic does is it teaches your body to produce more insulin. So it's an endocrine disruptor. It's not necessarily stopping it, but it's interrupting and disrupting the normal endocrine cycle. We're seeing a high fertility rate. We're seeing weight loss. Now it's being used on an off-label use for weight loss, and you can't keep it on the shelf for those who need it for type 2 diabetes because people are so vain they think they need it more for weight loss. But I want to tell you guys that what it's doing is it's taking your pancreas and it's revving it up. And what I foresee is that it will burn it out. It will cause tumors. It will do that because it's like putting nitrous oxide. I think that's what it is. Nitrous oxide in the gas tank for a boost and a rocket boost and a speed racer kind of thing. Same difference. And so it's going to devastate your body. The pharmaceutical companies aren't going to present the information to you like this. They're going to show you flowers and happy dances and all this other stuff. They're not going to show you what's happening inside your body, which is your body is losing its freaking mind because it can't keep up with the endocrine demand of this medication. That's what's going to happen, and eventually it'll burn out, and then you have a rebound effect, and then what are you going to do? This is what the pharmacology people aren't telling you, but this is what is always going to happen when you rev up any kind of thing in your endocrine system. It's all related, hormones and all of that. It's all related, all part of the endocrine system. And once I started seeing that I haven't looked into this drug to save anything other than the label and listening to a newsreel, but the more I look at this, the more I can see it's going to cause a lot of problems. It has the potential to cause a lot of harm, this Ozempic. Now, I was singing right along with the commercials. It's a catchy little tune. Didn't pay it any mind. It didn't apply to me. And then it came up on this, people are having Ozempic babies. So if that is the case, we might want to take a look at that. Just saying, we should do it. So there's some of the medical maladjustments. I mean, you know what? I think we're not going to take a break. If we do, I'm just going to be a little one because I'm on a roll and I don't think I want to give it up. So let's go ahead and just talk about Ukraine. Let's do that. I got a late start on the program. Let's just talk about Ukraine. Now, there's legislation, and if we're going to talk about Ukraine, then we're going to talk about the speaker, we're going to talk about the bills, we're going to talk about the money, we're going to talk about Ukraine. And I want to ask folks, you know, the Speaker of the House is catching a lot of heat because he's put this bill on the table for funding for Ukraine. Well, he's the Speaker of the House. He's not the Speaker for the Republicans, although he is the Speaker of the House, and they have the majority of the House. There are Democrats in there that would like to see things done. If all of the bills are attached one to the tether, then you get fooled into voting for things that you didn't want because you want to get what you did want, and then it's all one great big bunch of horse trading. Horse trading with our money to get their feet in the door, to get their little projects done. They're horse trading up on Capitol Hill, and the Speaker of the House is doing what he needs to be doing. And the folks say, well, we don't want any funding for Ukraine. Well, then let them vote it down. Evidently, there's people in the House that want it passed. Ooh, we're okay with funding Israel, but then let's do that. And we're okay with, well, then let's do that. Well, we don't want to fund Israel, then don't do that. Don't do that. Don't back it. Don't sign it. Don't vote for it. But the option's on the table for those who want it passed. And then every one of us can go ahead and take a look up at the roll call votes and see who voted for what, and then we know who's who doing what with who. So that's what I say about the bills. Let it play out. Let me get a drink. And of course, I'm going to clear my throat. Let's see where the votes go. Let's see where the votes go. One of the headlines or one of the taglines underneath one of the things is they want the speaker to have a magic wand. Okay. It could happen. But in the meantime, let's see where the votes lay. Let's see who votes for Ukraine funding. Let's see who votes for Israel funding. Let's just watch this play out. I think it's time to panic yet about anything, about things coming up for a vote. I'm watching. I'm going to see how this plays out. The votes are on the floor. Might as well take them. Might as well see how it plays out. And that's where I stand on that. We'll see how it goes. Because the Congress is playing games. Not everybody that's in Congress is there for our good. Not some people are just flat-out politicians. They say one thing on the air. They do something behind their back. And not everybody that's in charge of security is the most secure person in the world. Remember, we're dealing with a Congress, both the House and the Senate. Not all of the Republicans are good guys, and not all the Republicans are bad guys. Not all of the Democrats are bad guys, and not all of the Democrats are good guys. And for us to sit there and say, oh, that's a Democrat thing, well, then we're just as guilty as anybody else using a very broad brush to institutionalize the thinking of a group of people. So again, there's votes on the floor. Things are coming up. Let's see how it plays out. We saw what they did with the impeachment of Mayorkas. We saw that. We see how the vote went. We know who is who saying what. Was it correct? No, it was absolutely not correct. That should never have happened that way. There should have been a trial. There was an indictment. There should have been a trial. That's what the Constitution says. But I digress. Let's go back to Ukraine. So there's that funding thing on the table, and this is what I have to say about that. Remember that the deep state is all up in Ukraine. That's where they're camping out. That's where they got their little huddled masses hanging out. That's where they've got all their little pedophilia camps going on. That's where they have the children huddled together still. That's what's going on in Ukraine. And from what I understand it, Vladimir Putin hates pedophiles. And so he's going in there to blow them up. Doesn't do it the way the Americans do it. We let him in the border. Oh, sizzle on that. So from what I understand it is he's gone in and he's taken care of a whole camp full of child-killing pedophiles, which is where they get the adrenochrome that Zelensky seems to be delivering regularly. Have you ever seen anybody from Ukraine visit the United States of America so much? Why did they have that coup d'etat in Ukraine? What were they installing over there in Ukraine when they overtook it, the deep state? Inclusive of NATO allies, understand that NATO may not be as friendly as we think. There's a lot of things that are going on that we're going to have to come to terms with. There was never a problem with NATO and Russia until Ukraine came in the picture during the Obama days, and he sent them blankets. He began in Crimea. And he sent them only blankets because they were installing their new regime. They were taking away the Ukrainians' elected people, doing a bad, nasty smear rap like, you know, Pelosi tried on Trump. But now they are inviting Ukraine to join NATO. Why? Why?
To save them from Russia.
No. Because they need a safe place. The pedophiles in NATO, the European pedophiles that are trafficking children, they need a safe place. That's their safe space. That's what we're funding, the protection of their safe space. And that's what Putin is destroying, their pedophile safe space. Children are being freed. Some people are getting hurt accidentally, but they're being as careful as possible. Let me go ahead and bring this to you from Real Raw News. It says here on Real Raw News, you can find that at realrawnews.com, Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday ordered a missile strike on a Ukrainian pedophile compound in the country's historic city of, I'm going to get this wrong, Chernigiv, something like that. It's a cool name. But anyway, they were child-killing traffickers linked to the disappearance of Russian children, FSB agent Andrei Zakharov told Real Raw News. The fusillade of Russian missiles toppled an apartment building, gutted a hotel, and damaged nearby structures. Several pedestrians, collateral damage, were injured or killed by debris turned shrapnel to the streets and sidewalks. Immediately after the volley hit Chernigiv, the West again labeled Putin a war criminal. What happened right after he did that, right after he blew up the child-killing traffickers and the pedophile compound in Ukraine? The West again labeled Putin a war criminal and repeated pleas to further fund Zelensky's rapidly failing military apparatus as he, in what might have been a choreographed speech, reproved allies for shooting down Iran's missiles barrage against Israel while allowing Russian bombardments unhindered access to Ukrainian airspace. Do you see the trap? Do you see what's being funded in Ukraine? All the bad nasties that we've been revealing through Pizzagate and Pedogate and every other kind of Obamagate and Evergreen Gate and pick a gate. They're hiding out in Ukraine with the sigil of Moloch. They still got kids. It only looks small on paper. It's a wide swath of area. Ukraine is a full-blown country with counties and everything else set out. It's not just a dot on the map. And some of the escapes and what we're saying, oh, yeah, they're... what was it that they're defectors? They weren't defectors. They're bringing information. And the mainstream media isn't reporting any of it because evidently their producer overlords won't tell them the truth. So let's see who signs the bill and passes funding for Ukraine now. Who's going to do that? Who's going to send them and say, yeah, I'll send money over there so that they can stop Putin from blowing away the pedophile camps? Yeah, I'll do that. I want pedophiles to live. I want people to be tortured. Understand that Zelensky isn't helping his soldiers at all. He's conscripting people and sending them out to the front. They don't have enough food. They don't have enough ammunition. They are fodder, and he doesn't care. But go ahead, send more money over there. Do it. Send more money over there to protect the pedophiles. We don't have the clear picture being drawn for us, people. And by inviting Ukraine into NATO, NATO is breaking its word. And if NATO at all is going to break its word, I'm not going to trust it. I don't want my hand shaken with a NATO that's going to break its word. And do around the back much, try to bring Ukraine into NATO, supposedly against Russia. That was the point the whole time, and Putin's been trying to tell us that. We have bad guys in NATO, we have bad guys in Congress, and we need to wake up and grow up about it. With a piece of legislation, they want to undermine the Constitution. Isn't that right, Mr. Mayorkas? But somebody's telling him what to do. Somebody is giving him the orders. Who's that? Cannot possibly be Joe Biden, who can't put two sentences together. So there must be an orchestra and a regime. And it is coming to the attention of some of us. Whistleblowers and information leakers are telling us that, yes, this is Obama's regime for all intents and purposes. And those who ran the Obama regime, those who ran with Obama are running the White House and evidently gives Biden shots from time to time when they need to bring Charlie out front. This is wickedness. NATO's scared? Yeah, it's scared. It wants to bring Ukraine into it. That's a forbidden love. They said they wouldn't do that. And then they want to bring in another mistress called Argentina. Why is that? Why Argentina? What does Argentina have that NATO wants? Because that's the way I've learned to weigh it out. What does Argentina have that NATO wants? What resource is it there that they can exploit? NATO, to me, can't be trusted. If they're going to play this game with Ukraine, then I can't trust NATO as an alliance to not play games with the United States of America at some point. Why do they want to be in Argentina? Do they want to be in Venezuela? Is NATO going to go to Brazil next? One of the largest fresh water sources that there is. That's something to look into. Why is NATO courting Argentina? Getting into that during the week, over the weekend and during the week, and I'm going to be drilling down into that and finding out what it is that NATO wants with Argentina. And why now is NATO so welcoming with opening arms and wanting so many? It's eerie to me, but then that's just me. So that's what I know about Ukraine, that it's a safe haven for pedophiles. It was set up that way in the beginning, and in 2017, they were going to make it even more so. There was going to be the big year was 2017 when they were going to bring it in. And yet, why were they doing that? Why'd they make friends with Nazis? Why'd they make friends with those people? We got bio labs there now. They got cloning labs there now. They got pedophile dens there now. They got deep, deep underground bunkers that they hide people in. And Biden has property there, too. Just thought I'd mention it. So you see, as we begin to add color to the picture, and it's no longer just black and white anymore, there's all kinds of shady shit going on. But pass that legislation. Fund Ukraine. Let us know who you are, please, in Congress. Do it. Vote. Vote. By your vote, who you are. Fund Ukraine. I dare you. I know you're going to do it. But understand, then we will know who you are. And that's really all I'm looking for. A public display of allegiance. We'll see it soon enough. We're seeing it play out. Whether it's through the election interference or the border. We're seeing who's aligning with who. We're finding out that there are Republicans that want the border open. There are corrupt Republicans, just the same as corrupt Democrats that want the border open. And there's very good Democrats as well as very good Republicans that want to close that puppy down. The problem is telling the difference between the two. And sometimes all we have is a roll call vote. Sometimes all we have is a roll call vote. And if all we're going to have is a roll call vote, I'll take it. I'll take it. And we'll look into that and we'll see who wants what and why. Because there isn't one of those congressmen who doesn't know exactly what's going on in Ukraine. That me. If I know it, they know it. And now you know it. So we'll watch the vote. We'll see where they put their voice. We'll see where their allegiance lies, whether it's going to be with we the people or with them the pedophiles. You say, well, Leander Grace, you certainly are saying quite a bit. Oh, I feel very comfortable. If I didn't think that it was the truth, I wouldn't put it forward. I would postulate. And another little postulation, while we got about 6 or 7 minutes left, another little postulation that I want to put forward has to do with this election interference and this whole trial going on. And I may be outside the cards as I put this out there. I might be outside the cards as I put this out there, but I'm going to put this out there nonetheless. And this is a little bit of a different postulation on the hush money, and I'm wondering if our very dear friend, the lying, felonious perjurer, professional perjurer, Michael Cohen, is actually set it all up to make it look that way. Wouldn't that be something if he set that all up to get money to somebody else to make it look that way, which is why the two people that are accused of exchanging hush money said it never happened? So I'm interested to see how that plays out. I think we're going to find a whole world of color with Michael Cohen once we keep looking deep. We're going to find a little bit of a color, too, into Mr. Mershon and under the justice. We're going to take a peek in the robe. And one other thing I want to point out for my listeners. You know, the House did what it could in bringing articles of impeachment and indicting Secretary Mayorkas for his crimes, dereliction of duty, willfully deciding to not enforce constitutional law but writing law around our constitutional law. He's been indicted for lying, a breach of trust, lying to the people, lying to Congress, lying to people a lot. He lied a lot, did bad things. And then the Senate says we're not going to indict. He said that they're unconstitutional articles, which is not true on its face. But what struck me as eerie and struck me as, is when Senator Schumer said your side had a chance to argue it. Now, our side, and so as we see, he says the quiet part out loud, evidently there are sides. And we will know how they use their vote, where they're putting their voice, which box they check for their allegiance. So it may be very inconvenient to put up these things for a vote and have these bills of funding that go against our conscience to a degree. But on the other side, if we can look for silver linings and clouds like we used to be able to do, is we will know them by their vote and by their voice. There isn't anything that I told you that Congress doesn't know unless they have been kept in the dark on purpose. And maybe Congress doesn't know that we the people know, but now they know. So I say vote. Show us who you are, show us where you are, show us your allegiance. Vote on all of the bills that are coming up. Vote your conscience. Vote your conscience, and we will see it for what it is. I am your host, Leander Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. I want to thank you for being a part of the program tonight, whether listening live or in a chat room. And we didn't have any chat room people busting in. Not everybody knows I'm on Thursdays. I'm going to have to work on that marketing a little bit, get that word out somewhat. And I think, yep, we're going to need to do that. But I want to thank you for adding your light to the picture. We'll continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace while this great awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. People are waking up. They're seeing the truth. And then it takes a little bit of time to come to terms with the truth that they're seeing before them. It takes an adjustment. There's a learning curve. We all had one, and should we not be patient and compassionate for those who are experiencing their own personal learning curve. We've been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And we're going to awaken that Azathua. Good night.